like real. I feel like a prince, I'm feeling myself. I'm loaded with bills, cause I wasn't blessed with no Uncle Phil.
Awesome. Don't know how it feels. Got that out of the way. We got a proper beginning to the show. We got booze in hand. We got all kinds of ruckus taking place wherever the hell you guys are. I just don't.
Jack, where are you?
There is some chicanery afoot, and
I don't think he's at home. I think.
Well, I mean, the background is kind of a dead giveaway that something's amiss. Yeah. I mean, we've done the remote broadcast.
No, I think he's somewhere.
We've not spoken word one about Zelda or the breath of his asshole or whatever the hell the name of the game is called.
I knew it.
What? You knew what?
I
apologize.
I knew I heard his voice.
Somebody's putting in work to try to avoid having a dad bod, it looks like. Wow, look at that. Well, for the podcast audience, you haven't heard his shrill, ball-retractingly awful voice on the show yet, but Liam is in the house. Now, Jack, are you...
Watch out! He's behind you!
Liam? Or is Liam with you?
Like, oh, are you
where
both
are you?
Gone
where
together?
I am now staying at Sir Liam's house for the next 2 weeks.
You're kidding me. I am so sorry.
We're seeing a bad version of Step Brothers play out before our very eyes. There's so much room for activities and White Claws. I just don't know if we can... There's awesome. So much to mine
that's
out
like,
of this.
That goes against everything we do
it
on
is,
the show, man.
It is.
you're living,
this
you're
feels
living
like
with your enemy.
Well,
what is wrong
you know,
with you?
Mortal
the
enemy.
Saying is like you keep your friends close and your enemies closer, and he is doing that with his nipples behind me. So, and
you know what he reminds me of? That DVD logo that bounces around the screen.
He's gonna hit the corner. That's when he hits the corner. That's the perfect moment.
If he bounces like you're playing, pong, like the show's over. Like there's no keeping us together. Holy
is
God!
He,
well, I don't know how we're going
be
to
be like a fourth mic tonight, or is he just gonna dance?
He's just gonna. He's my eye candy for the night. He's my peanut gallery, I suppose.
Oh my God!
I don't think he's gonna.
Hey, I'm coming over.
I don't think he's not gonna jump on. So, yeah, we're here. We're queer and we're loving every minute of it.
I would believe it more if your shirt was off too.
I'm good.
That would have been the prudent move, honestly. That would have distracted us from the anything odd going on with the
you know what? The background thing just happened to be great because I just forgot I was going to blur and try to hide him in the background, but it kind of worked out. So.
Yeah, this doesn't seem like it was very well thought out. But
it's been a day. How about that?
I can imagine. Well, 5 minutes with Liam sounds like a day, but in any case.
Did you guys get kicked out of the in-laws?
We have vacated per just some things came up. We couldn't stand it anymore. So.
Oh.
But yeah.
Some hot drama. Some hot so drama went good. Down.
Yes.
Decisions were made.
Very rash. Very, very quick.
I'm getting the fuck out of here.
So yeah, that's where we're at. This was I actually tried to call John to see if we can crash, and he
said hell no.
He smartly
we don't want you
ignored
kind.
Me until several hours later. So that's
it wasn't ignored. It was well, if anything, it was just kind of happenstance and just me playing phone tag with you. But if anything, it gave us that happy surprise where. We're graced with Liam once more. I thought we were gonna live until Liam popped his kid out, and you know we would have a Liam-free existence until then. But again, we're made liars. It's fine, totally fine. Well, on that note, there's no segueing out of that. God, he's still there. Start the show. Eddie's room from all throughout Northern Virginia. It's the Bad Slam Podcast. Oh my God. Let's not make that a permanent fixture. If you're checking us out on Twitch, oh, God help you. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on in the background of these, at least in Jack's screen. But if you're checking us out on the podcast, we thank you. We're getting our videos back up on YouTube slowly but surely. I think we might have to start joining hands and making a concerted effort to get all the videos up to date on there. But appreciate you if you're checking us out on the Twitch. What is happening? I only see Ice's face. Oh, God. Okay. You know, it's probably better off for me that I don't pay attention to what's going on. I'm gonna just live with Ice's face haunting me for the rest of my days. if you're... I'm out of sorts. I'm completely out of sorts.
Come on.
If you're a listener of the show, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and hate Liam, and we'll thank you all to the end of time. And shop on our link on our website, badslant.com/support. I'm not looking. There's a whole host of things you could be buying for your Memorial Day weekend, to include a gray slop to slather onto your hamburgers, specifically Hellman's mayonnaise, something that I thought of. Not organically, just something that kind of came to mind today when, I don't know, we were batting the ball around about things to talk about on the show. And, you know, we've been chatting up the Last Dance documentary, and it feels like there's a lot of copycats that are starting to spring up out of nowhere. You talked about The Undertaker and The Last Ride. And then you see one with, I don't know, would you say Tom Brady's beloved at this point?
I don't know. I don't care. Like, who wants to watch that?
Why would you send that to me then if you don't care?
It's just, it's like, I get it. After the last dance, everyone's like, oh, we need more of this. That was so great. We need more documentaries. But
I got to get some of that heat. Yeah, so I think I saw a commercial for a Lance Armstrong documentary also coming out in the next few weeks.
Nope.
But then this Tom Brady thing is scheduled for next year. And
it's not going to build the hype. They're trying to build the hype right now. I don't think anyone cares. I don't know.
No, specifically me. And the first thing I thought of when I saw the trailer for that was, that's about as exciting as a jar of mayonnaise, to which you took great offense to. Had no idea what that was about.
Mayonnaise is awesome. But why are you hating on mayonnaise?
No, it's not.
It's one of the best condiments, man.
It's not even, it's not a thing. It's flavorless and it's awful.
Hey.
I will bite my tongue before I have a spoonful
before,
of mayonnaise. But
I thought mayonnaise only works on like burgers, and then they put it in sandwiches, and then I found out you can put it in breakfast sandwiches as well. Amazing!
Oh, God, come on,
delicious.
Look, I can give you the space for a hamburger, but when you start like encroaching upon my breakfast, like you can keep your mayonnaise to yourself. But be that as it may. I'm sure a lot of folks will have use for mayonnaise on this Memorial Day weekend.
Ooh, yes.
So you can
shop
for a tub, a 48-ounce tub of Hellman's mayonnaise on Target.com for the low, low price of $6.19. And you can please the ices of your life with a big old jar of that. And I'm sure you'll plop down on the couch with a big spoon and watch the Tom Brady documentary next year, and you'll be pleased as peach. So. Mm. There you have it.
You know which one I am excited about? There was a there's a Bruce Lee one coming up in like
Bruce Leroy?
In like I think a month. They're doing like a Bruce Lee 30 for 30. Oh, it's gonna be so great.
Why is it on? Wait, it's on ESPN.
You didn't see the commercials?
Why?
The Last Dance?
No, right. No.
I don't know how you missed it. It was on like several times an episode.
I was quite drunk. I mean, has he ever dunked a basketball? Like, how many World Cups has he won? Why is this
martial
thing
arts,
on ESPN?
Martial arts, I guess, is considered a sport. So, yeah. Mm. And they're reaching
let,
right
you
now.
Let me
they're
know when
they're
they...
trying to say that we're, you know, Asians, the new thing, man. Asians are hot right
we
now.
We are hot right now. We're so hot.
We're so hot. Is there any chance this is being released to kind of drum up interest in Shang-Chi, the Marvel film coming out in February?
Probably, but Shang-Chi is so far away, so, I mean, it would...
Oh, it got delayed, never mind.
So it's like, it would have made sense, but...
Yeah, it was supposed to come out on Chinese New Year, now, never.
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, it's a damn shame. I'm sure we'll see Shang-Chi hit the streets at some point in 2021, the same time that we can... Enjoy that Tom Brady documentary. All right. Speaking of documentaries,
there's not going to be any time in 2021. Everything that gets delayed, it's like it's coming out 2021.
I'm gonna go ahead and declare now. I got no time for Tom Brady in 2021. We talked about the documentary bit. We're going to lay heavy on The Last Dance because it's the finale. So be forewarned, if you're not a fan of old MJ, which apparently there are plenty of those folks out in the world, you're going to dislike the next 20, 30 minutes of this show. But we'll try to spice it up a little bit. And, you know, we might have a few other pointed items of discussion, specifically maybe a long ballyhooed rumored version of the Justice League that got some shine and I don't even know how to characterize it. I'm so ready for the release, the Snyder Cut people to go away from here forward. But we'll talk about it. We'll dissect it and how that whole thing played out, and perhaps a few sportsy related things of the non-MJ variety as well. All right. So can we start here with The Last Dance? That we all saw episodes 9 and 10.
I saw it.
I'm waiting for affirmation from another party.
You swear I would miss it.
I've been surprised before. Look, I was pretty sure that we were kind of like in this death pack to watch The Last Dance, but you know, we were betrayed at numerous times, and coincidentally by Jack, who betrayed us tonight. We have to start here. The flu game is something of lore to people our age. It gave rise to the shoe of the same name, the Jordan 12. Like, the flu game is synonymous with Michael Jordan. And we've heard, I guess, in the last couple of years that whole thing wasn't exactly the way that it was described. But it was kind of laid bare in the first episode on this past Sunday night, where it was revealed that it was actually food poisoning. So I'll just start and ask you guys if you had known that was kind of the rumor in the last few years, that it wasn't exactly a flu-like situation, it was actually a food poisoning situation.
Jock? I always thought it was...
Jock? Stop playing grab-ass with me, please.
I always thought it was the flu game. That's how they characterized it afterwards. I never knew that it was actually food poisoning. You're right. They named the shoe after it. I mean, it's the stuff of legends. I mean, correct.
It sounds cooler. Like, the flu game, right? Sounds way better than food poisoning game.
Yeah. But
Pizzagate, right?
It doesn't take away his performance and the grittiness to come out and still play and drop 38 points to help them secure the final victory.
Yeah, it was the 97 final.
97 final.
Yes.
Correct.
The penultimate season. Ice, did you know that there were rumors that it wasn't exactly the flu going on and getting
I think injured? This is the first time the whole world has found out.
You didn't know.
I mean, to this point, I mean, I think he just never, for whatever reason, he never mentioned it for so many years. And, I mean, maybe just because I think the flu game took on a life of its own. It's like, you know, been... like nicknamed like a shoe, you know, everyone uses flu-like symptoms as a saying, you know. I think it's part of the basketball. I think it's part of sports culture that people always use the terminology, you know, the flu game. And I think he just didn't want to, I don't know, he just didn't give a fuck, you know, like why even mention it at this point? You know, it got legs of its own. But yeah, it was definitely shocking. But then, did you hear about the dude that came forward after that claimed that he was the one that made the pizza?
Yes.
I'm sure the people of Utah are quite credible at this point. when you think about it, the guy, how many games did they play in Utah? Was that the third game in Utah? Like, I'm trying to figure out the timeline, but it just, when you start thinking about all the parameters, it makes more sense that he didn't just up and come down with flu-like symptoms. It's the middle of May, for God's sake, and all of a sudden the guy's deathly ill after spending a night in Utah. So, yeah, it makes more sense that he ordered a pizza after a late night and he shit his brains out.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's I don't know. Like, I guess, like, at the time,
You sound like you believe him is what, I, what it seems like.
I mean, it could be a cover-up for him getting... I mean, I don't doubt there's times that he get hammered. You know, after a game, he'll stay up late, smoking cigars, getting... So, you know, there's nights when you drink a lot and you smoke cigars, it doesn't sit well with you. And so I don't doubt that at some point he could have gotten sick. But I don't know. Has pizza ever done that to you? Where you
well,
just,
I mean, it's yeah, food, right?
Like 24 hours later?
Maybe a little
so, later. So it's funny because this past weekend, we actually ordered out on Friday. So the next... Yeah, so I got
did you get diarrhea too?
Food poisoning.
Oh, okay.
And so, like...
Oh, no! And now you're at Liam's.
So
it just keeps
I'm
getting worse.
This, looking over and thinking, like, my God, these last few days, I felt like complete shit. I cannot believe he had these symptoms. Like, he went out and still performed at a high level. I cannot imagine. I was running around with my kids that Saturday, and I wanted to die. So for him to go out and perform and play, you know, brilliantly is a testament to his mental his mental fortitude and his constitution. It's crazy.
Okay. The way Ice laid it out leads me to believe that he is—he's not buying into the flu game theory. He's not buying into the Pizzagate theory. Like, there's something else. Like, it just—it feels like there's the third possibility would be it's the hangover game, right?
Yeah.
Like he threw back like five or six cognacs the night before, and he was just shit out
come
of luck.
Come on,
I don't think that for a second.
I mean, no.
You know how
electrolytes into him.
Come on, man. You know this guy. He likes to stay up late, and you hear so many stories of him gambling all night, and just like how crazy he is, and he just feels like he's invincible, where he could do whatever he wants, and then shows up at a game and drop 50. You know, that's just how he is. So I mean, I think he was up to no good, and he's just covering it up by saying, you know, it's a flu, or you know, it's.
Leave it to Ice to think the worst of our hero, the greatest hero.
He's
in
my
American
hero
history.
Too, man.
And you're throwing him, you're throwing his name right in the mud. I can't believe this. It's another betrayal. God, it's so betrayal.
Dude. You of all people know, like, I cannot.
I would never wear black silk underwear.
if I order Pizza Hut, I'm going to be on the shitter for, like, the next several hours. In 24 hours, I'll be back to good. You know, I can run around. I can do things again, but.
Okay, we're back to food poisoning then.
No.
Like, there's no other crazy theory out there then.
He should have been fine. It was, I don't know.
It's the Pizza Hut game. He ate way too many pepperonis, and then he blew his brains out on the shitter, and he's right back to normal in Chicago, and they locked it up in six. That's what happened.
Yeah. But either way, I think just the fact that if it was food poisoning, I'm like, oh man. I mean, it's still pretty incredible what he did, even being feeling like crap. But yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Even if it was just really bad diarrhea, it's still really impressive.
Oh, sure.
You think one day, like 25 years from now, when the last dance comes out and Jordan really wants to come clean and it turns out it's like the diarrhea game, like they come out with like a shit brown colored pair of Jordan 12s. Like, would that be the move? I'm so ready for that. Man, 25 years where we get the goods on this one. Did you guys know that
no.
Black Jesus was a real
no.
nickname?
I didn't know that.
Like
I didn't know it came from Reggie Miller. It's like a
hated rival. Like, it's one thing if it's somebody, who was absolutely just beholden to you, just a worshiper, but it was someone who hated his guts on the court and literally wanted to fist fight him at one point, and he has nothing but the purest of respects, and he bows down at the throne of Jordan. I thought that was a funny kind of aside, but really it was just kind of like a backdrop to that 98 Eastern Conference Final, which if I'm being honest, like, it was quite literally the most contentious series I've ever seen Jordan play in, like, and that's counting the whole Eastern Conference Finals with the Knicks and I'm trying to think who else. Like, I vaguely remember like the piss and stuff. Like all of that just kind of paled in comparison because those guys were just dicks to him. Like, these guys were actually good enough to beat him, and it came down to kind of execution in like the span of 6 minutes that kept the Pacers from actually pulling it off.
Wasn't that stretch of plays incredible though? Yeah. Just when they recapped that final couple minutes of just how just by the bounce of a ball have changed the whole momentum of the final couple minutes of that game. It's nuts.
Yeah, I mean it's a testament to their, you know, the champion. I guess Reggie Miller said it, their championship medal. They've been there before. They've been there before. They knew what it took. I mean, and you kind of, you know, if you've never been there before, you clench up when you're down to the wire. So they didn't, and then they made the right amount of plays. It's like the Patriots, man. They're not that, you know, sometimes they're not the best team out there, but they made just enough plays and they win. So it's the same thing.
Do you remember how
it was pretty sad, man?
The Indiana Pacers team was like,
yeah,
the Davis brothers, Mark Jackson before he put on another 40, like really just like stacked with talent up and down the lineup, and they were mean, and they had great coaching from Larry Bird, and that had to be like the stop you in your tracks moment of that first episode where Jordan pulls him aside and he says, like, you bitch, F you, and then he saunters off, and they're both smiling, like it's all jocularity, but just to hear it come out of his mouth that way, it's funny that he would have that kind of relationship with someone he just beat into the ground and just sucked his soul out of his asshole. But yeah, I'll remember that as being probably the most difficult series that team ever had to encounter.
I mean, and it showed after that game how excited he was, and he was just, you know, so appreciative of you know, he was going around thanking all of his teammates, and then you saw him all giddy on the bus the next day going to the next series. It's just like he knew how difficult. I bet you in his head getting through that game seven was it like that was a lock for championship, because you know they've beat Utah before, so it's nothing new to him. So just to make it through to the championship round, I think for him it's just like it's done. It's locked, so he was good to go.
Go ahead, lock, as we used to say. Do you guys think it's weird when, like he's literally like destroying these men's lives, like their professional livelihoods are just being going up in smoke, and then afterwards, Karl Malone is just sitting there on a bar stool, just quietly waiting for his turn on the microphone for the press conference, and they're just shaking hands, and then he's gonna go beat that ass again like two nights later. Like, is that weird?
It was strange, man. It's like that was like a true behind the scenes moment that was that's unreal. That's how that whole setup is like he Michael Jordan could be sitting there.
So they don't hate each other.
He could be like mother effing that dude on stage, and then right he walked. Just the only thing that separates them is like a curtain. And then he walks back, and then he's literally sitting right there like, all right, brother.
It's like, I ran so fast because you smell so bad. Oh, hey, Carl.
What I do have to say, though, I felt like he had a lot of class after they won the championship, and Karl Malone went up into the bus to give credit. I thought that was I don't think any player would do that. I mean, even if you circle back to, like, you know, that whole Detroit series, how Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons wouldn't even shake hands. And here he is, you know, after being defeated, losing the championship game, he's coming onto the bus to congratulate them. And I thought that was pretty cool, man. Very classy.
Well, this shows the character, right? You know, Karl Malone and John Stockton, they both did it. So they're always, you talked about as class acts in NBA circles. So, I mean, it's a fraternity, man. Like, the way that Isaiah did that to him and the whole bad boys BS. Back in the day, it's classless. But we already talked about it. But yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah,
I like that they still hate each other. Like the
Bill Laimbeer,
like Isaiah. Well, Isaiah is just coming up with more. Yeah, like Isaiah is just digging the hole deeper every time they put a microphone in his face. But I appreciate the professionalism where you can get it, and I also appreciate the pettiness where they can hang on to it. But speaking of petty, I had no earthly idea that Liam was a dick. I had no earthly idea that my God, what was I thinking? The Brian Russell, okay, Byron Russell deal was actually something that was deep seated, and it grew legs over time. All because, again, another thoughtless comment from some dickhead who had no idea what hole he was digging himself into. But it was Brian Russell talking shit to Jordan, who just came back to visit the Bulls when they were playing the Jazz. And the comment was something to the effect of, why you quit? You know I could guard. You know I could knock you down. And then fast forward two years, funny. And then we have the jumper. I mean, did that just make your heart sing? Because I knew he had something against Byron Russell. I just didn't know what. And it was actually a blood feud. And he just, whether it was just him drumming up motivation to get through the series, I had no idea that there was any basis to it whatsoever.
I've never heard of that story. So it may just, I mean, but John Stockton corroborated it. So it happened. And they got it on tape.
Yeah.
It's not like the was it LeBradford Smith story where he just made it up in his own mind. So, yeah, for sure.
Pour one out for LeBradford Smith.
Oh man, poor Byron Russell, man. But he's on. I mean that.
We can agree he's Byron.
Byron.
Right?
Byron. Byron.
Why would you have a Y and an O in Brian? I will never know.
But man, talk about like. People who just like relive the pain over and over. I mean,
this documentary was that. It's like these old his vanquished opponents are reliving their failed attempts at beating him. I mean, Ewing has gone on record saying he's not watching. Like, I've lived it. Why do I gotta go through it again? He's like, I'm good. So yeah, I mean, it felt. I don't know. I mean, we can get to this next topic, but like. It towards the end there, I was kind of burning out. I was just like, I felt like it could have been summed up in two less episodes, probably in the eight episode run.
Episode 10 seemed a little superfluous, I'll say that much. Or if they wanted to just fast forward and like finish episode 9 and then play game 6 live in HD, that would have been appropriate as well.
Yeah,
which is pretty much what that whole episode 10 was.
Yeah. I mean that's it's the last dance. I think the whole thing kind of led up until this moment, and I don't know. Maybe folks that haven't really followed Jordan, like the younger kids or something that wasn't really watching back then, and to relive that and see that moment. For them, maybe it hits differently for people who weren't too familiar with that whole series and that year. But yeah, I agree. I felt like near the last two episodes definitely had a different feel to it. I felt like the first several episodes, it was fun. It was just like a retelling of things that we thought we knew, but we didn't get all the behind the scenes and all the details of those moments. And then they did it in a way that the storytelling was great. The music was awesome. And I feel like we lost a lot of that at the tail end, where it was just like the soundtrack got, you know, it got too serious. It felt like a documentary by the end of it.
Pearl Jam was a little out of place at the end.
To me, it felt like as if we were like the slog of their last season, where they're just trying to get to the end. I felt like they were conveying. I don't know if they did it on purpose or it's just by. Yeah, maybe it wasn't by design, but you just felt like, all right, this is dragging. Let's get to the end. Let's sum this up pretty succinctly, and it just never. And that, it kind of. I felt like it was, you know, just the end was just sort of ham fisted. It was just like, okay, this is it. Well, we already knew what was happening, but it's just like, okay, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, in that sense, do you feel like they kind of naturally segue into that conversation about sticking around for Title VII? Like that was never really seemed like a possibility throughout the course of the documentary. But then they were kind of just dragging ourselves to the finish line for this last episode. And then you start to think, well, if there really was an opportunity for them to reunite for a seventh title run, like would they really have had the motivation or the gumption to to push themselves for one more shot, because if they're just trying to get over the finish line for six, I mean, who's to say that they can take on another season long slog and vanquish their opponents one last time for a seventh?
You know, I would say that, but after I think you were the one that brought it up when you took a look at the following season. That was the short season.
I was really drunk at that point, but then I did a quick Google search and I was like, oh my God, this was an actual possibility. Like they were so tired and burned out. But if they got a 30-game rest to launch into that seventh mm-hmm. season, oh my God.
Oh my, yeah, seriously. If you think about it, if everyone had time, if they really did sign everyone back to like a one-year contract just for this, the final run, and it was a short season, and who did they play? You said it was New York, right? They played the Knicks?
The Spurs and the Knicks were your NBA Finals of 1990.
Come on, man. I think they would have had that. And
the eighth seeded New York Knicks, mind you.
Like, I think that's it, given that they had the same coach, the same set of players. Steve Kerr would have been on the Bulls and not the Spurs. You know, I think they would have still taken that. I think it would have been a walk in the park. You know, it's a short season. They can handle a short season.
Oh, it's tantalizing.
Oh, my goodness.
Rodman could have spent the first 30 days of the season in Vegas, and he'd have been just raring to get out of the gate.
And then that gets you start to think. Then if you start filling in all the gaps, okay, so then if Michael didn't go off and retire and went to baseball, that could have been two right in the middle. They could have got if they came back and played this last, they could have got one there. So there's technically they could have had three more. He could have had nine, but then if he had nine. Would Phil probably wouldn't have gone to the Lakers, and then, you know, the whole Shaq Kobe thing, who knew how that would have went.
I don't think he would have made it to nine, man. Come on. Like if they were well, I mean, he was in his prime. It's just the motivation. So he needed that break.
He
so
needed
let's just
a
say
break.
He gets
he
five
something
straight
in between.
He goes let's say he gets six straight. Why even go for the seventh? But to get there would have been a massive undertaking on mentally and physically. I don't think they would have made it. In full honesty, they would have not made eight straight championships. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it would have happened.
Like we don't have to dwell on it too much. Was it the Celtics? Did they win they didn't win eight in a row, did they? They may have.
Back in the day?
Back in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. Was it eight in a row?
Could have been.
Like that. All I know is the whole the two three-peat thing was huge. But in the modern-ish era, if they'd reeled off four in a row, that probably would have cemented them as the greatest team of all time. And God forbid they would have gotten five in a row. We would never hear the end of it. There'd be last dances on an annual basis, and they'd just be recounting each individual game from each series. Like it would have been madness.
Yeah. His legacy is probably. It's already said. And I think the fact that he did what he did, got the three, left, and then came back and got another three, I think that says a lot already. So, if that doesn't cement him as probably one of the best, you know, best teams, best dynasties, I think, come on, what does?
Nope, you're absolutely right. I think the Libertyans are just... Exactly. They're just sitting at home washing their tights.
I have to say, though, I am so burnt out on this whole LeBron, MJ debate conversation. I can't, I don't know why it needs to be a topic during all this.
It doesn't. We're bored.
I get it, but I'm so one, just I'm not a LeBron guy, but leave the dude alone, man. Just enjoy this for what it is and stop bringing him back. But I do hope that this sheds some light on why people are saying that MJ's the GOAT. Like, I guess hopefully now the world sees it, but that doesn't mean I'm just tired of hearing this debate. It gets old, you know?
Yeah, it gets old. Cancel this podcast right now. It's cool. You know what? It's a completely subjective argument that we'll never be able to prove outright. No one will be able to prove it outright. It's just a lot of stupid memes on Instagram at this point. So, I'm happy to let whatever conversation from this kind of die out on its own. But are you guys seeing at all that now it seemed like episodes, like weeks one through four, episodes one through eight, like everyone was just kind of like just kind of basking the afterglow and just really enjoying everything for what it was. And then all of a sudden the series ends and suddenly the contrarians are out in full force, just swinging in on the chandelier, and it's in vogue to say, well, Jordan was a bigger asshole than anyone ever let on. Or maybe they were, I don't know, maybe it just seems like he was exaggerating and laid bare all these secrets that should have gone the like sat in silence for the rest of time. Like, has any of that kind of, like, or maybe I'm just spending too much time on Twitter, but like, it just kind of seems like suddenly everybody, but it just seems like now after it's over, everyone feels comfortable saying, okay, well, he's an asshole again. Like, we're right back where we started.
If you didn't know he was beforehand, I mean, you really, yeah, I mean,
I knew he was an asshole, but I like that asshole.
Do you like him any less now?
No, I like him more. I mean, it's just
like him more.
It's you know what it you saw what it took to for him to get that first championship and to will the next two years to get those teams there and winning it and then doing it a second time, another three-peat. I mean, it's just, you know, it's his character, but. I mean, you have to have that psychotic nature to get there, and it is what it is, man. Like the people who are like that, the alphas, the great ones. That's what they do.
Yeah, I think I'm not shocked by it. I always knew he was an asshole, but I was fine by it. I think what was cool in this series was just like now I see exactly where Kobe found inspiration, motivation to like, he basically just did everything that Jordan did, you know, like almost like to a T, like every little nuance of just the way he worked out, the way that he played, the way that he approached the game, the way that he was tough on his teammates. It's like everything. It was just like, I don't know if it was something that Jordan passed down to him to say, hey, be a dick to your teammates, but It was just like, okay, I get it. They're definitely the same beast, man. I think that was for me just because, you know, I love these two dudes, and just to see it, and it's like, oh. That,
mm-hmm. Isolate that.
Two men, please.
Nice.
But yeah.
I'll say, I can just picture the moment where Kobe realizes, wait, I can say this to Luke Walton, and get away with it scot-free. Like that would have been like the light bulb moment that just set off the greatness that was Kobe. Oh man. All right, well, are we comfortable saying adieu to the last dance?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, do we need to talk about the game 6 in HD at all?
I just didn't like the angles.
I guess did any of you boys appreciate it? Did any of you boys like it?
I liked the last quarter.
I'm just surprised that the images were that crisp.
Yeah.
Right. I think that...
I didn't realize how many missed shots there were from Jordan.
He was tired.
Yeah, exactly. It gave credence to the whole notion that he was just beat to hell and he just wanted to get it over with. And then as soon as he needed to turn that light bulb on...
That last sequence was good to go. Like, he just...
Breathtaking.
He gets that layup. It's a two-for-one situation. And then, you know, he steals the ball and just comes down and trains it. I was like, damn. That's why he's the GOAT.
I think somebody, surprised on Twitter, summed it up perfectly where the whole final sequence was summed up with, Jordan's great because Karl Malone is stupid. That really kind of hammered the point home because Carl didn't realize that Jordan didn't clear.
You can't say that about Carl because I think at the moment, I think that's where you got to give credit to Rodman. Rodman had him play through this game, just like really distracted him, had him focus on him, and he was playing hard and bodying him up down near the paint. So I think this was like close to the end of the game. I think Carl Malone wanted to make a play. And he just, for one split second, he was so fixated on, I'm going to make a play on Rodman versus who else is around me, you know?
No, he was, I don't believe in that at all. I think, well, I'll say this. I think he was enamored with the notion of choke slamming Dennis Rodman that following Sunday at Bash at the Beach. That's why he didn't focus, and Jordan wound up stealing the ball. So I think that is what you should take away from.
I do wish there was a couple more episodes that covered the Wizard years.
No,
I hate that.
No.
They just
why? Why? No.
I like the Wizards.
Who is following him during the Wizards years? This is no. Yeah, besides us, but like a camera crew. Is he gonna have like a reality camera crew basically doing it? No. Come on, man.
do you remember who
WDRC?
Homeboy Byron. He got Byron to be a teammate with the Wizards. You remember that? He played.
Wait.
I don't remember.
Timeout. I'm calling shenanigans on this. There's no. Did you Google this and ensure that this is fact and not just some imagination from you having one too many vodka
sodas? That was the craziest thing. I was like, I remember when he was coming back to play, and then all the people that he was reaching out to play alongside him. You know, they got Stackhouse and Oakley and this and that, and yeah, one of the people that came to play alongside him was Russell. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Lo and behold, someone's memory is a little better than ours. During the 2002-2003 season, he was a teammate of one, Michael Jordan.
Oh, it was so weird, man. But
shout out to Byron Demetrius.
Demetrius.
Mike. I think that's his name. Wow, that's awful. That might be the final burn, like the final like twist of the knife into Byron.
That's the only way he was going to get scored on. No more game winners on him, so play alongside him.
Actually, yeah, that's the best defense against Michael Jordan. Play for Michael Jordan. All right. Well, do we need a palate cleanser after that? I'm
sure. Yeah. We got our best sponsor here, GoDaddy. GoDaddies, yeah, they're friends.
Our friends.
GoDaddy is the world's largest and most trusted domain registrar that empowers people like you with creative ideas to succeed online. Buying a domain name is easy with GoDaddy's domain search tool and domain name generator tools. You can find the perfect website address for your business. But GoDaddy offers more than just a platform to build your website. GoDaddy offers everything you need to create an effective, memorable online presence. And if you already have one or more of their products, transferring your domain, website, or hosting to GoDaddy lets you consolidate your web presence with one provider so it's easier to manage. For our listeners, visit our page, badslant.com/support, and click on the GoDaddy banner today to find your perfect.com starting at just $4.99. Get going with GoDaddy.
GoDaddy. GoDaddy. Love it. Thank you, GoDaddy. All right. Do you want to spend like a modest amount, like 2 minutes real quick on the Undertaker documentary?
Go
from one documentary to another.
Yeah. Before you get into chapter two, I'll say I watched chapter one.
What did you think?
I'm excited, man. That was
fascinated.
It was really good. Chapter one was really good. It lived up to everything that you kind of led into last week. So I was like, okay, when you were describing it last week, I was like, okay, you definitely got my attention. I'm going to check it out. I'll make some time this week. And boy, was that good, man. I've always appreciated Undertaker, but that really like that did a great job of like showing the man behind this character. And you really got a feel for how much he put into the sport, how much he put into and how much he loved, you know, wrestling, and no matter, yeah,
the business.
And no matter how beat up and how much he was in pain, took a couple shots in the knee, you know, he just, when it's time to go, he showed up and he performed, and it was incredible, man. And that's why you start seeing like through chapter one, the amount of wrestlers like were giving him a lot of credit, and it's cool, man, to see a lot of that stuff behind the scenes. And I definitely appreciate it. So I'm excited. Well, I was excited to see the rest up until I got the little tease from John here.
Look, it's not that it takes a wild turn for the worse. It's just. I last week where I was fascinated with seeing the man behind the mask, now it's like, okay, I've seen enough of your face. Like, I want to go back to the guy who's rolling his eyes to the back of his head. So since you haven't seen episode two, I won't spoil all of it for you. I'll just say you'll see, like, the real side of him in that you will see the inside of his hip.
No.
Which they replace. I didn't realize this. He's already had one hip replacement before this whole series took place, and he wound up having to get the other one replaced. So there's that, and they do so in graphic detail. And then, part of the rehabilitation process and him, like, going back and watching old matches where he literally hates everything that's happening. He's doing it alongside his wife, former WWE wrestler Michelle McCool.
Who's
that? Who, by all accounts, another wrestler.
Okay.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't care. Very attractive. Blonde hair, blue eyes. His words is blonde hair, tight rockin' bod, something to that effect. Like, he's really boned up for her, and that makes perfect sense why he would marry her. But they spend a lot of time with her and, like, just putting her over, and it gets to be a bit much after a while. But, you know, that's his queen. And then they spotlight a little bit more about WrestleMania 33, the match with Roman Reigns that you probably saw a bit of in that first episode, Ice.
It hits still, man. When they played that end segment, oh, man. It gets really emotional, and you start feeling for the guy, man.
Yeah, I was also in the building for that. I have that against my my record. I two WrestleManias, both of which The Undertaker lost. So there's that. And then
A-B-A-J.
The part that is the apps... When you're right, you're right, and when I'm wrong, you're right. So the last thing that is probably the most jarring throughout this whole thing, you see Vince McMahon become a human being, and it's relative to his relationship with Taker, in that, like, he lets the Taker in and Taker lets Vince in, and it's like a completely mutual relationship, and they are like, I'm not going to say it's weird, but it's like
brother.
There's like a brother angle. There's like a father-son angle, brother.
Brother.
It gets way deep at certain points, and it takes you back knowing what you know about both of these guys. So definitely check it out if you haven't already, Ice. I'd say if you were good enough watching that first one, you're going to be satisfied.
for sure. I hear what you're saying, but I definitely have to check it out. If episode two just totally ruins everything for me, I'll probably stop there. But the first one was so good, man. I can't imagine.
At least it ain't 10 episodes.
Five, right?
I think.
Five. So I think I can put up with five episodes of Undertaker stuff.
Bang, bang. Yeah. Yeah. You got nothing but time. All right.
No.
Good deal. Jack, no go. All right. So... I think we can probably close. I don't think. Perhaps we'll spend the rest of the time on the show talking about this. This is a dumb question. Jack, have you watched Justice League? No.
I refuse. I'm not.
Okay.
I've seen.
That's fair. You used to be like a Superman guy.
I guess I want to know why. Why have you held off this long from even attempting to watch it?
The reviews obviously didn't help, but I don't know. I'm just not. I wasn't into, I guess, Affleck's interpretation of the character of Batman. I did go see Man of Steel. I did see Batman v Superman. I didn't see it in theaters, but I've seen it. But, I mean, after watching Batman v Superman, I was like, this is just hot. Yeah, this is hot garbage.
I'm good.
Like, Snyder directed the next one, so I was just like, Justice League, so I was like, if this is the same thing, no, I'm good. So I don't know. I'm not interested in it.
I could spend an entire show just listing the atrocities committed by one Zack Snyder, but that would be a waste of time, I think. Knowing what you know now, as far as the reception to the Justice League, does the news that they're actually going to recut and actually refilm or film new footage and provide new special effects to give the vision that Zack Snyder intended for Justice League, does that change your mind at all, Jack?
No.
All right. Short conversation. Okay. End the show.
I don't have any. I mean, I get if it comes on, like I'm not going to, let's just say this. I'm not going to go out of my way
Okay, number one, are you going to have HBO Max?
That's where it's being released.
Let me ask that right out the shoot. Yes, so if anyone's not really read in on this, so the whole Justice League came out, I think, 2017, was poorly received, and wasn't a critical failure, but it definitely was not a critical hit, or it wasn't even a box office hit, and it, for some damn reason, this stuck in the craw, and I'm firmly in the camp that DC Comics fans are the absolute worst people on the planet, but be that as it may, they... anything would have set these people off, but the fact that this movie was hated and unsuccessful, relatively speaking, led to the dawn of the hashtag release the Snyder Cut, where they felt the vision that Zack Snyder had for the movie never really came to pass, and that was true in the sense that the director was really credited as Joss Whedon, who directed the Avengers and came on board for this movie when Zack Snyder's family encountered tragedy. So he finished the movie, and it seemed very muddled. It wasn't exactly a coherent storyline, or at least a coherent vision throughout the film. So there's been this movement ever since the movie failed that some fans wanted to see this movie recut and redone the way that it was intended. So that's the backdrop. And then this past Wednesday, I believe, is when Warner Brothers, which is the parent company behind HBO, DC, EU, whatever the hell you want to call that thing, and in HBO, they let on that, okay, they're going to acquiesce, and they're going to devote not a pittance of resources. I'm sure they dump millions of dollars into Justice League. They're going to dump $20 to $30 million
crazy?
More to allow them to. Jeez. It's nuts. For a movie that's been done for 4 years, and now they're going to dump $30 more million into this thing in the middle of a pandemic to allow them to do some goofy ass special effects.
Man, he must have sold the hell out of his concept, man. Because I mean, even like till this day, he swears that he had a different vision for this film, and where he was taking it was way different than what came out, and they shot a lot of the stuff. It's just. Was cut up the wrong way and put together the wrong way. So he kept swearing that if he ever had the opportunity to put out his version, that, you know, it's going to do it right. It's going to do it justice, you know? but like at first I thought it made it sound like the cut was already kind of semi there. It's just a matter of just putting it together. But I didn't realize it's going to be 20, 30 millions worth. You know, that's like, for some people, that's making a whole new movie. Yeah.
Pretty much. And you know what? That, for me, that just gives credence to the notion that there really is no Snyder cut. There's nothing in the can already that they're ready to deploy that's a 75% fix to the original movie. They're crafting it from here forward. And he even said as much in the press release, saying it's going to be its own thing. It's going to be completely different. Which flies in the face of what all these other dickheads have been saying for 4 years, that the cut's there, like it's been shown privately, it exists, and I heard it's amazing, somebody get Kevin Smith on this. Like, none of this shit was ever accurate, and now they're having to devote time and resources to make this thing happen, which, you know, God bless them if they're seeing this as an opportunity to make HBO Max a thing. But I think everyone that is on Twitter, like, just crowing, saying that they won, like, this is their victory. Like, you're full of shit. You didn't win anything. Like, you complained and you bitched, and Warner Brothers saw an opportunity to make a buck off of you. So, congratulations. But it from my eyes, it doesn't change anything. That perhaps, yes, it might be a better product in the end. But I don't necessarily think that there's something that is coherently available now that's just being filled in with a few post-production pieces that will make this a vastly different
movie. But I wonder, how do they feel like they're gonna get the return on their investment on putting 20 to 30 mil? Like, where do you get that money from? It's not being released in theaters. Is like, what? Is it just through subscription?
They're trying to get their money back through subscription. Yeah.
You think that's going to get you 20 to 30 mil? I guess
could be.
I mean, I I don't know how much HBO Max is going to cost. I'm in their ecosystem already, and I think you are too, Ice, being an AT&T customer. So you're gonna have like a discounted entryway into their.
I think we get it for free.
Their streaming system.
I thought.
There's a possibility. At least discount.
Yeah, I've read something that because we're already subscribers to the AT&T stuff, I think we get it for free. So I'm like, cool. Well, that better for me.
I mean. Yeah, on that alone, I'll check it out. But if you were going to tell me that this was the one like draw, the anchor to their platform, I'm 50-50 still. I guess I'm def. There's the curiosity angle is there. Like you always wonder with a movie that had such a weird backstory as far as the production that perhaps there is more to it. But I just don't think they make good movies. Yeah.
They
like is no. there anything? Go ahead.
Not to answer your question, no, they have not. Not one. Okay. There's
done.
There's not a single DC movie that I've been like, wow, that was such a. I guess besides the Nolan films, I guess that's the closest thing to like a DC movie that I would say I really love the Nolan films. Outside of that, it's been all bust, you know. Even like what everyone claims that Wonder Woman is like the best DC. No, it sucks. It's horrible. The new one is. I mean, I'm not gonna. Yeah, I don't like DC movies.
Misogynist.
I still need
Jack,
to watch.
Jack, what do you think Shazam. Of Shazam? Sorry. I'm sorry.
I still need to watch the new Harley Quinn because I haven't found time to watch that yet.
Inoffensive at best.
Okay, that's all I need.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's not awful. But it's setting a very low bar. So I would say lower your expectations. I went to great detail. I don't know what episode it was, but go back and check our back catalog and get my full rundown of the Harley Quinn and the Special Olympics of whoever.
Oh, you're gonna like Shazam when they make the sequel.
God.
Yeah.
Wait, is there a Shazam sequel?
Yeah, the one with The Rock. He's playing Black Adam.
That's racist.
Oh, Black Adam. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My thoughts exactly. All right. Well, we'll see how that whole thing plays out. I think the more interesting angle out of all of that is that they haven't quite figured out if it's going to be like a straight movie release on the thing or if it's going to be like episodic. Like they could run it out there like four or five different pieces over the course of time. But, you know, I would probably check it out either way, however they deliver it. I'd like to get it off like a Band-Aid just one time right off.
Whatever makes sense. Like, I mean, if it's episodic, that means it's going to be a longer film, which I'm okay. I feel like DC has done a terrible job trying to squeeze like a legitimate storyline into 2 hours. So if they need 10 hours to put it together, sure, I'll take it.
Nice. Yeah.
But that's, for me, that's part of being like a good storyteller, like being a good filmmaker is being able to edit yourself. And granted, I don't know how to speak in concise sentences, obviously, but you know, being able to say the least amount possible and still get your story across is kind of the mark of being really good as a storyteller. And the fact that they can't do it in 2 hours, let alone four, up until this point, just kind of screams that they're just really not that good at what they're trying to do. So, I mean, we'll give it a shot. Then, you know, maybe Jack will live tweet it, just like we're waiting for him to live tweet Game of Thrones. Like, you know,
supposed to start soon.
We'll get our bang for our buck somewhere.
Gotta think about that. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Clock's ticking.
Episode 100. It's as good as. Have you seen that one trailer that's going around on the internet of like when they recut all the scenes from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but they made it like a horror flick?
No, I didn't see that one. No, I didn't see that one.
That is some dark side of the moon trenches of the internet.
Like, that's a good recut. Right, see, they didn't have to reshoot anything and put $20 million to that, and it looked like a compelling story. I like it.
We'll have to check it out.
I'm pretty sure in, yeah, I'm pretty sure in that story, Will's dad still leaves him. I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
why he don't love me, man?
That was so sad.
Oh God, crying right now. Hey, but I'm crying now. But I definitely didn't cry this week. So if anyone's keeping score at home, John did not cry this week.
Are we supposed to be impressed by that? You cry like every other week.
Pretty much. You run Best of the Best Part 2 on Stars this week. It's going to be a problem. God. All right. Well, I think we're running up on crunch time here. But real quick, what are you guys' plans for Memorial Day? Is it social distancing with our favorite, least favorite show?
Yeah, I'm here. This is where I'll be.
Basking in the afterglow.
I may need to crawl my ass over there, too.
Be here.
That's one of us. Yuck. Well, all right. Well, we're coming up on the month of June. I think there's a sliver of hope that we'll be together again next month.
Yeah, I hope
right?
so.
Fair? Savvy? Definitely saw a bunch of hooligans in front of my local Nano Brewery. Like, I think they bought the beer and somehow decided to loiter on a wine barrel in front of said Nano Brewery. And sounded like the third circle of hell. Like, just not like kids screaming, like the parents just has so happy to be around other people. Like, it
hey, you get what? Delivery from those robots yet?
No, but I think if we're gonna have a sedentary Memorial Day weekend, it's certainly a possibility.
Come on, you gotta try. I would have tried it out by now.
I'm sure. I got enough booze. Speaking of which, I showed Ice before the start of the show. We could start this as a bit, but there is the bargain basement booze of the week.
Sounds like a freaking recycling.
Booze of the week.
Yeah.
A cacophony of empty, cheaply made alcohol bottles. But last week it was Ezra Brooks. This week we laid waste to a handle of Citadel Gin de France. Yeah. Take a look at that. That's your big boy. Pretty good gin. And as I mentioned to Ice before the show, I think I might be a gin guy now. But if you're looking for cheap hooch to get you through the rest of this quarantine, if you're a gin guy, Citadel might be your go-to. Again, whiskeys, bourbons, Ezra Brooks. Thumbs up.
The move is always, go find a bottle of Eagle Rare. That's going to be your best value right there.
Oh, Trust me, I laid waste to the Eagle Rare bottle here in the studio. The single barrel Four Roses, and what else? That might have been it.
Sazerac.
Oh, Sazerac Rye.
That's a good one. I like Saz.
That one got put to the sword as well, and may or may not have cracked the bottle of Blanton. Blanton's perfect. But, yeah.
Still.
It was a lot of fun.
Why don't you finish off that Malort?
Still got some vodka.
Malort.
We're getting close, dude. We're getting real close.
When you get desperate enough, you're going to start looking at that thing like, you're not that bad.
Yeah, it's like seawater when you're drowning. Like, you will drink that if you get desperate enough. So we're coming up on that time sooner rather than later, boys. All right. Well, on that note, good time to stop the show?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a couple F-bombs to edit out of this thing, so... Thanks a lot. Nice. You made more work for yourself. Well, on that note, happy Memorial Day to friends and family and fans of the show. We will. We're gonna do a regular show next week. Or will you guys be too hungover?
Next week? That'd be fine. What's next week?
No idea. Maybe long week.
Oh. I'll be good.
No worries. I'll be all right.
Good deal. Looking forward to Jack and Liam part D.
Later, beer tender.
All right. Okay. Well, good night, boys. And on that note, peace out.